If you can say to your neighbor, you are more than a conqueror. And the passage is from Romans chapter 8, verse 37. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And the church said. You know, the Holy Spirit is touching different people in the church. And you know, I'm not just making this up because, you know, different people are coming to me, telling me that they're being touched by the Holy Spirit. You know, during the women's retreat and men's retreat and our renewal ministry that we had, you know, the Holy Spirit is touching people and healing people and setting them free. And I see a deeper relationship being formed in this church, in the life group and in this church. And, you know, just our upper room prayer meeting on Wednesday, it's getting hotter and hotter, and more people are coming. And even in the Sunday service, you know, we have newcomers. And what they've been sharing with me is, you know, there's something that's going on in the church. And they feel, you know, some people come and they told me, again, I'm not making this up, they're the one who's telling me this, God's doing something unique, something different that they haven't really encountered or experienced. And more and more people are becoming hungry for the work of the Holy Spirit in their life, in their family, in the church, and in our community here. And so when the Holy Spirit moves, and you know, that's what's supposed to happen in the church, the Holy Spirit moves, right? And when the Holy Spirit moves, there's greater revelation, right? There's deeper conviction, and there's clearer vision, you know, kingdom vision. There's a clearer kingdom vision. And as a pastor, not just as a pastor, but as a Christian, I love it. You know, I love that. I love it. And but the devil hates it. Thank you. The devil hates it. And the devil will try. The devil will try to steal the seed, this revelation, the conviction, the vision, the promise, the truth, the seed, okay, that God plants in your heart. The devil wants to steal it. That's what the Bible says in Matthew 13. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches away what was sown in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The devil does not want revival. Right? The devil will throw anything and everything in your path to stop revival. See, when you want to love more, that's a good thing. This is a God thing. That's a God thing if you want to love more. If you want to live a life of faith, if you want to get closer to God, you want to be healed and you want to be set free. You want change in your life. You want to see transformation. You want to walk out the purpose of God for your life. The devil will attack. Devil will steal. That's what the Bible says. The devil will lie to you. The devil destroy. And the devil kills. Okay? The enemy will shoot discouragement at you. You know, again, if you want to love, that's what the devil will do. If you want to see multitude of people come to the Lord, the devil will attack you. Right? He will shoot discouragement, fear, and hopelessness at you. My call, you and I, right? What we need to do as a church, don't let the devil win. Say that to your neighbor. Yeah. So we got to fight this spiritual battle, and the Bible says we need to stand, we need to resist, we need to fight, we need to push through. Yeah. And what the Bible says, when you're going through spiritual battle, you are more than conquerors. I say that to your neighbor again, you are more than conquerors. So what does a kingdom conquerors do? And that's what you are. Okay, what? That's who I am in Christ. And this is kind of the theme. Do the opposite of what the devil wants you to do. Do the opposite of what the devil wants you to do. Now, you know, like I said before, you know, God wants you to take you to another spiritual level, another level of anointing, another level of power and authority, another level of healing and freedom. That's what the Lord wants to do in your life. And so, you know, we're at this mountaintop, but to get to the higher mountaintop, you can't jump from mountain to mountain. Right? What you have to do is you have to go through the valley to get to the next mountaintop. And there are situations that's going on in your life right now. There's conditions that you and I have to navigate through, and we have to kind of go through this valley, okay, to get to the next level of anointing, next level of victory, next level of breakthrough. Okay? And each one of you, as I was praying, this is what the Lord has placed in my heart for this church. There's three conditions, three valleys, you know, that you're going to have, we as a church are going to go through. Okay? We're going to go through. And if you could just put that up, it is when you are afraid, when you feel alone, and when you are aggravated. Okay? I thought about it a lot to make it all A's. Okay? Right? When we are afraid, when we feel alone, and when we are aggravated, okay? And this is something that you and I are going through right now. In one of those things, right? And it is a situation you and I will face. No one is exempt. And when you are in it, right? You got to understand, this is the time to be more than conquerors. I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to do it. See, when you're on Sunday worshiping, you're saying, I'm more than a conqueror. Okay? When everybody, you know, everybody feels good. You know, when you feel strong, I'm more than a conqueror. No, you're supposed to say that. And you need to walk that out in the valley. Okay? Not on the mountaintop, but in the valley, right? And when you go home, is the valley, okay? When you're with your family, there will be a situation that feels like a valley. When you're in your workplace, what you're struggling through with your mind, with your emotion, is a valley that you're going through. And in that time, and I'm gonna go through this, you have to connect and submit yourself to God. You have to choose to fight the right battle. You have to choose to not listen to lies. You have to meditate on the truth. You have to resist and flee from temptation, from idols, from stronghold, and from things that will keep you in bondage. Okay? Now, you got to ask, why would God, a loving God, allow you to feel weak? Why would he allow that in your life? Why would God allow you to go through a time where you will be afraid? Why would he allow you to go through this valley where you feel all alone? Or when you feel aggravated, meaning, you know, you're angry, you're frustrated, you're resentful, okay? Because, you see, for some reason, okay, you and I learn, we transform, we grow more spiritually, and we depend on God, and we pray more fervently when we're in the valley. Okay? We do. I'm praying a lot because I feel weak. Yeah? When we go through the valley, okay, to get to the next mountaintop, what you're going through, what God is saying is the reason you're going through that is because I want to take you to the next mountaintop. A level of greater anointing, greater breakthrough. I want you to know, because this is what it calls you, I want you to know what it means to be more than a conqueror. You know, during celebrations, you know, it doesn't mean much when you say, we're more than a conqueror. You didn't conquer anything. Okay, when you feel, you know, when you have, no, no. It's when you feel alone, when you are afraid, when you are aggravated, okay, this is a time that God's gonna wants you to bring you through a breakthrough. See, when we're comfortable, we don't want to change. We don't want any change around us, or we don't want to change. We want to stay where we are. When we're in the mountaintop, when we feel comfortable, when we feel good, we tend to build a fort there, a nice house there, nice wall, so that we could just stay there. Okay? And when we do that, we don't move forward. Okay? We don't move forward. It is when we are comfortable, when we are uncomfortable, okay? When we are uncomfortable, we go, you know, this house, let's not stay in this house anymore. Let's not stay in this castle, this fort. And you start to break down the wall when we are uncomfortable. And when uncomfortable, this is what the Bible says. This is what you have to trust and put your faith in. When we are uncomfortable, when you're going through those three conditions or situation, the Bible says God tests us to make us stronger. Okay? It's in that valley, you gotta look at, not God is punishing you, he's mad at you, he's trying to crush you, you're just too happy and God doesn't like it, so he needs to make you more miserable. That's not God. Okay, when you're going through that valley, think of it as a spiritual gym. You know, when you go to gym, what do? You lift weights. And it's not easy, but you lift weights. And when you lift weights, guess what's happening to you physically? You're becoming stronger. You're becoming more healthy. Yeah, you run on that treadmill, and it's terrible. You feel like you're gonna die, you know, and no oxygen, you know, just miserable. But guess what? You're becoming stronger. You're becoming more healthy. What? And when you're in that valley, okay, don't think of it as just suffering and depression and hopelessness. When you're in that valley, you're in God's spiritual gym. Okay? You're in that spiritual gym. Okay? But there's this problem that I need to let you know. When you go through that valley, God puts you in that spiritual gym. But at the same time, in that valley, you will go through spiritual battle. Okay? Spiritual battle. God uses discomfort to strengthen us. The devil used discomfort to tempt us. There's a difference. Test us to make us stronger. Tempt us to break us down. Okay? To destroy, to steal, to lie, to weaken us. Okay? So, when you are afraid, when there's fear in your life, when you feel alone, you're lonely and you feel empty, when you're aggravated, meaning you're frustrated, you're bitter, you're angry, you will also go through a spiritual battle. The devil will make you focus on things that will hurt you, to hurt you, to steal from you, and to keep you in bondage. That's why in the valley, okay, you know, what God wants you to do, He does the opposite of the devil. Okay? When you're afraid, when you're alone, when you are aggravated, God wants you to do something new in you. When uncomfortable, the enemy comes in and offers you things that will keep you in bondage. You know, when I feel lonely, when I'm uncomfortable, I thought the solution was a bag of Dorito. Yeah. That makes me feel good. No, it doesn't help you. It does not help you. Right? The devil will say, when you're in the valley, you know, offer you things that will cause addiction. Okay? That will cause bondage. That will comfort you, but it's not a solution at all. Eventually, it will destroy your life. It will destroy your life. Okay? But the Lord in the valley comes in and he offers you comfort, healing, freedom. He offers you and I a new life. Right? The devil uses failures to condemn, to shame, to give, you know, put guilt on you. God turns our failures and he gives you forgiveness, cleansing, redemption, and renewal. Right? The devil hurts people to hurt. The devil uses hurt people to hurt more people. Right? God can use hurt people to help people. Like I said, this is one of the weakest time I feel like in my life. You know, when my thoughts, when my emotion, you know, is the weakest time that I'm going through. But you know what people are saying to me? They're coming up to me, Pastor Sam, what you're going through is helping me so much. I go, what? No, I'm serious. People are coming to me and telling me this, you know. And I don't think they know, you know, like, you know, from my perspective, how that sounds, you know. You know, Pastor Sam, what you're going through is just encourages me. And I understand that, you know. You know, and in my weakness, okay, I want to do God's will. It's hard. And I'm trying to fight the battle. I'm not perfect at it. I'm not perfect at it. And so, you know, it's very easy in that time to hurt other people. It's easy. But I mean, I'm very encouraged because people are coming to me right now during this season. You know, that helped me. And that's what God, it's not me. That's what God is able to do with you. The very things, this is what God's able to do, that you are ashamed of. Think of something that you are so ashamed of, you're hiding it, you know, you don't want anybody to know, you know, you're ashamed of. God can turn it around to minister to others and help others. The addiction, the brokenness, the failure, the shame, the guilt, the sin, the rejection, the abandonment, the neglect, the abuse. The very things that you hate the most, okay? Like fatherlessness, you know, and just the very thing that you hate the most, God wants to come in. He wants to touch it. He wants to redeem. He wants to renew. And he wants to anoint you in that area. Okay? God has to do it. You know, those things we cannot overcome by ourselves. God will touch you and he will anoint you. See, anyone can bring good out of good. Yeah? You know? And, you know, we take credit for it. It's like, this is a good phone. And we take credit for it. You know, oh, it's good. You know? No, anybody could do that. But God can use the bad to bring good. And that's what Romans 8, verse 28 says. Romans 8, verse 28. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Amen. See, when you're afraid, when you feel alone, when others aggravate you, right? Think about those situations. This is what you're going to go through when you go home. Right? And what the Lord is doing, he's using those situations, those conditions, to bring to surface the old things. That's why we don't like it. You know, what we like is we like it to be underneath where nobody could see it. You know, and some of us, you make a mistake saying, when it comes to the surface, God, why did you give me that? No, it was there. It was there. God didn't put it in. Right? God didn't put those shame in there. God didn't put your addiction in there. God did not put the rejection in there. God did not put the abuse in there. Right? The abandonment. It was there, but you did such a good job hiding it. You did a great job hiding it. keeping it kind of below the water. And when you go through the valley, it's like a shaking, and it brings, comes to the surface. It comes to the surface. And people, you know, that was kind of interesting. You know, our church is about 8 years old, and there will be time, just many times, Holy Spirit is really moving in our service, and there will be newcomers in our church, and the Holy Spirit would touch them. Okay, it's not me; it's the Holy Spirit would touch them, and you see them just breaking down, just crying, you know, and the Holy Spirit is touching a deep area of their life, right? And I go, praise God, I just see that happening, praise God, thank you, God. And then you know what would happen? This happened so many times in our church. They would never come back. No, I'm serious. Members, you know that, right? Okay? They will never come back. They don't come back. I go, I thought because of that, they should come back. You know why? Because they're not used to it, and it scares them. It scares people. You know, they just want to come to church where they just did their duty, okay? You know, they feel guilty. God, you know, I have a test tomorrow, so I came to church, bless me at the test. You know, that test. Yeah. But, see, God wants to draw near to you. He knows you, right? And when God draws near to people, sometimes really scares them. But I want to remind you, no, please, okay? The Lord is touching that area not to hurt you, not to shame you, okay, not to expose you. The Lord's touching that area because he wants to heal you, okay? He wants to set you free. He wants to set you free. Yeah, and so he's bringing, and it's scary, but I'm just telling you, try to help you to see what's going on. It's, God didn't put that in you. You already had it. You know, you did a good job hiding. So it comes to the surface, and if you don't freak out, okay, amen? Tell your neighbor, don't freak out. Okay? Don't blame the pastor. Okay? Don't blame the church. It comes to the surface. Why? So that God could get rid of the old. He needs to get rid of the old so that he could give you something new. And when the Holy Spirit does that kind of job, just let him. Don't go, what's going on? You know, why is this happening? Oh, there's things that's coming up and I don't want to deal with it. Don't say that. What? But remember in the back of your mind, the reason it's coming to the surface is because God wants to heal you and set you free. He wants to clean out all the things that hurt you so that he could give you something new. Okay, something new. And so this is what I'm declaring over the church. God is, you know, doing, he is an end to the old things and the beginning of a new order. Okay? But it's not automatic. Just because I declare doesn't mean it's gonna happen. It's not automatic. We need to go the opposite direction of the spiritual attack. Opposite of the bondage. Do the opposite of what the devil wants you to do. It's not automatic, you know, because I've been proclaiming for many, many years, and sometimes and nothing would happen, okay? Because it's not automatic. Just proclaiming it is not enough. Okay? You have to do four things, and this is the conviction I got. I'm going to give you four things, the opposite direction of bondage. We have to go as a church the opposite way of bondage. Number one, okay? Choose to submit yourself to God. Say that to your neighbor. Okay? Matthew 6, verse 33 says, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When we become a Christian, we receive Jesus as the Lord of our life. Right? We receive Jesus as Lord. But in our heart, think of your heart as it has many different compartments. Right? And some compartment you still want to control. Some compartment are in bondage. Some compartment is broken. Some compartment is immature. Some compartment is filled with shame. Right? And lordship, making Jesus Lord of your life, is not automatic. You have to make a choice daily. Okay? So when you feel alone, okay, you could give power to the devil when you feel lonely, or you could give God or receive God's power. Okay? You have to make a choice daily. Every day you have to be determined. I want to know you more, Jesus. I want to love you better, Jesus. Okay? What you prioritize is up to you. Okay? It's up to you. If you prioritize hiddenness, you know, running away from things, isolating yourself, if you prioritize shame, brokenness, you know, you can prioritize those things. Okay? But when you make God a priority, okay, and you make that choice, okay, and this is what you need to do when you're going in the valley. No matter how weak you feel, no matter how scared you are, no matter how lonely you feel, no matter how frustrated, no matter how intense the spiritual battle, no matter how many times you failed, okay, seek the Lord. Proclaim lordship over your loneliness. Proclaim lordship over your fear. Proclaim lordship over your frustration, okay, over your bitterness. All right, so that's number one. Number two, choose to fight the right battle. Okay, say that to your neighbor. And again, on a Sunday, it's very easy to do. Yeah, I'm going to fight the right battle until you go home. Okay? Until you go into the valley. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says this. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realm. Okay? Your struggle, your battle, you're not supposed to fight this battle. Your battle and your struggle is not with your spouse. Okay? Look at your spouse and say, my struggle is not with you. You know, you say it, but it's like, yes, it is. You know, that's where my struggle. No, it's not. You got to listen to the Bible. Right? And your struggle is not with your children, no matter how frustrating they are, or no matter, you know what they, you know, yeah. They're beautiful, okay? It's not with your child or children. It's not with your parents, you know? Right? No matter what they have done in the past, how they parent you, it's not with your parents, okay? It's not with one another. It's not with your church. Okay? And many churches, that's where all the battle is with the church, you know? It's so funny. One day I went to because I come from a Korean background, you know? And I went to a Korean cafe, you know, with pastries and coffee, and I was sitting all alone, but there's like three tables around me with church people sitting there. They're all complaining about the church. All the, because I understand Korean a little, you know. 목사님 is pastor this and that, and you know, they were just all just complaining about the church. Huh? Their battle was with one another. Okay, the battle is not who is right or who is wrong. You know, I've been wrong, you know, and I lost that battle, but and I've been right, and you know what? I find out that doesn't mean you win the battle. You still could lose when you were right. Okay? So our battle is not who is right, who is wrong. What the Bible's saying, our battle is spiritual. Okay? Our battle is for our heart. Okay? So you could win, you could be right, and still lose your heart. Losing your heart. Okay? The battle is for our heart. That's what you got to understand. Okay? When you're fighting the wrong battle, you're losing your heart and you don't care. Okay? You don't care. The bitterness comes into your heart, anger comes into your heart, you know, hopelessness comes to your heart, you know, judgment comes into your heart, and we don't care because we're fighting. We go, this is the battle that I need to fight. Right? The enemy, you see, when you lose the battle of our heart, the enemy could easily put you in bondage, easily deceive you, lie to you. You know, easily. It's like when you're not focusing on the right battle, it's like a thief. You got the door open and all the lights are, you know, all the doors all open. And you're saying, devil, come in to this house and take whatever you want. Take whatever you want. Right? So if you're focused on, you know, my spouse is my enemy. You know, that my spouse has to change. My spouse has to do this. My children has to do this. And you're fighting this battle and you're losing the battle of your heart. Right? When you lose the battle of your heart, the enemy comes into your house, your heart, and steal and destroy and lie to you. Right? So, fight the right battle. Okay? Number three, choose to reject lies. Instead, meditate on the truth. Okay? John chapter 8, verse 32. John chapter 8, verse 32. Then you will know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Okay? You know, you give power to what you agree with. If you agree with lies, you give power to lies. If you agree with the truth, you give power to truth. Right? If you agree with what the enemy says, right? And when you go home, in your time of fear, enemy will lie to you. In your time of loneliness, enemy will lie to you. And in time when you feel aggravated, enemy will lie to you. And it's pretty loud. It's loud. Right? And enemy lies. He goes, yeah, that lie is true. That's what's going on. You're giving the devil power over your life. Yeah? You're giving the devil power over your life. And it's really, I am really struggling with the battle on my mind, you know? And so what I have to do is, you know, I have like 5 to 8 reading plans in my Bible app right now. 5 to 8 reading plans in my Bible app. Because I'm struggling daily, you know, because in your mind, the devil will lie to you. With your emotion, the devil will lie to you. Right? He will lie to you. And I have to meditate on the truth. During that time, I have to. And so I never had this many reading plans. You know, I'm going through so many, you know. There's a reading plan for temptation, for depression, for spiritual battle. And I just finished one. It was called Victim or Victor. You choose. I just finished it yesterday. It was like a 10-day thing or something. I finished it, you know. And that kind of helped me inspire this message, you know, going through that reading plan. And so you need to do that. When you're in the valley, you're being hit with so many lies, right? And you have no weapon, right? You gotta be able to get that sword out, the truth of God's word. And you meditate on it, then you're learning how to swing that sword. Right? Jesus is the example. When he was tempted in the wilderness, in the valley, when he was all alone, very aggravated, right? It's very scary. He tells the devil, "It is written." Right? Devil comes back. You know, he didn't. Don't do this. Devil will lie to you and lie to you. You kind of listen to him, you know, and you go, you think about it, you analyze. Don't, no. Jesus, devil comes to him, says this, tempts him. It is written. Devil comes back, tempts him with something. It is written. Devil comes back and tempts him with something else. It is written. Right? You have to meditate on the truth. You have to. This is a season, okay, where we're going through this valley again, not to hurt us. God's taking, as a church, let's go together. Okay? Yeah, stay tuned. Let's go together. Okay? Nobody's left out. Nobody's left out. Let's go together to greater anointing, greater power, greater authority, greater revival. Yeah? Amen? Finally, number four. Resist the devil. Say that to your neighbor. Resist. Yeah? Resist and flee from temptation, from idols, from strongholds, you know. Things that keep you in bondage. Resist it. You got to resist it. Flee from it. James chapter 4, verse 7 says, submit yourself then to God. That's point number one. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Okay? And the thing is, we didn't make up my mind to resist him. Okay? Because in verse 8, okay, in the context of resisting the devil, it says, it talks about not being double-minded. Huh? Not being double-minded. What, you know, what does that mean? You know, we say, I'm submitting to God, but when you go to the valley, you know, you believe that the temptation is more powerful than God. Huh? You believe that. Oh, it's just impossible. It's just too strong. It's too powerful. I failed in the past. I'm going to fail again. That's being double-minded. Huh? Being double-minded. You believe the source of your like addiction and bondage is, you know, that idol is the answer to your emptiness. Huh? Think about something that you're addicted to. And when you feel empty, you go to it. Why do you have to go to it again and again and again and again and again and again and again? And it's, you know, you go like the alcohol, you go again and again and again because it's not working. Right? It deceives you so much, you're getting weaker and weaker and weaker. There's more bondages in your life. Everything else seems now dull. And the addiction becomes more powerful. When the addiction becomes more powerful, all the good things in your life becomes colorless, meaningless, even the good things. And you say, this is the answer, and it will destroy your life. It will destroy your life. You go closer and closer to what the devil's, you know, when you're in the valley, when you feel alone, okay, and you need to identify what that is. When you feel lonely, When you are aggravated, right? When you are afraid, the devil will come and kind of put this before you. This is the answer. Grab hold of this. Huh? Grab hold of this. And that's what you got to resist. Not be double-minded. What do I mean by double-minded? He does this, and you go, you know, I'm not going to take hold of it, but I'm going to come to the edge, and I won't fall off. I'm just going to come to the very edge, you know, just try to touch it. Right? No, what the Bible says, don't be double-minded. That's being double-minded. Go the opposite direction. Not towards it so that you get closest as possible, but go the opposite direction. Far away, opposite direction of that cliff. But if you're doing that, right, you're being double-minded. The Bible says stop being double-minded. Right? As a church, let's do this. Make up our minds. You got to make up your mind to go the opposite direction that the devil wants you to go. That's what it means when you resist the devil. And you know what's going to happen? He will flee from you. And the church said, okay, let's worship. On Sunday service, we're at the mountaintop, but when you go home, God will allow you to go through this valley. And you know, you're familiar, you're very familiar with that valley. You know, you're very familiar because you weren't able to go through that valley. But it prevents you from going forward and you kind of come back. You get stuck or you keep coming back. So you and I are familiar with that valley, what that valley is. You know the street, you know all the houses there. And that street that you go on, you know that there's a pitfall there. Huh? Let's have a different strategy now when we go home. Let's have a kingdom strategy. Yeah. Think about when you, again, are afraid. You know, think about what scares you. And when you feel very empty, when you feel alone. And when there's bitterness and you feel aggravated and frustrated and angry. Right? Reject what the devil says, you know, what the devil tempts you with. Reject it. No more. And ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, give me the truth that I need. Give me the comfort. Draw near to me. I'm going to make you the Lord. You are the Lord in my valley. It's not alcohol. It's not immorality. It's not money. It's not golf. It's not ice cream. Jesus, you be the Lord. And take me out of that valley. Through that valley. Into something new. God wants to give you something new, a new anointing, a new life, new breakthroughs, Lord, greater transformation. Let's ask that of the Lord right now. Let's ask that of the Lord.